as we were talking the other night, you know, it only took me 1 week to be a convert into digital radio. Because I live in a condo community, because propagation is where it is, and blah, 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 and on and on, I think digital radio fills in a gap that a lot of hams are going to go for once they find out what it's all about. And sure, it's not antenna to antenna, as I was a purist a week ago or 2 weeks ago, because it wasn't antenna to antenna. It still has been a lot of fun, and I've, you know, spoken to a lot of interesting guys all over the world, and if you could get this antenna to antenna sort of out of your head for a little while, I actually think it's the future of ham radio because of the young kids coming up and how they'll take to digital radio. Anyway, thanks, Paul, 73.
Okay, Rich, very good, and I'm glad that you're enjoying your time. Digital voice technology is fascinating because it's a somewhat different paradigm than all the other amateur radio interests, and I like to kind of keep up to date with all of them. Limark members especially, we have a relatively active Limark DMR repeater that's accessible and being used daily. It has its own talk group as well. So you could theoretically tunnel in through other sources. We do, I believe, have a fusion repeater someplace, but I have not quite recall hearing it, so it might be just out of my range of hearing. And I do not believe Limark has a D-Star repeater anywhere. So if you are interested in, say, DMR or digital mode, you can stay within Limark and be active on our club repeater. So I wish you good luck, Rich, and I hope you enjoy it a lot. And I'm sure you'll have one or two more questions as time goes on, and you know where to reach me.
I do with that. And for the third time, I implore anybody who doesn't know anything about it just to Google it. Real quick, it may seem a little confusing. It is a little confusing, by the way. But just know that you could get on your radio. I have, my investment is $93 for the radio and $105 for the hotspot. That's been my investment into digital radio. And I've had to use those in Germany and England, all over the place, and a whole bunch of them. For some reason, there's a lot of four-land guys into it. It seems like, I don't know, W4s, K4s, A4s, everything four is always into everything ham radio. I don't know what it is, but at least from Riverhead, New York it is. Anyway, thanks again, W2BZ Chris.
Okay, very good, Rich. And for some people who already have Raspberry Pis sitting in their on their desk or in the back room that they were puttering around with, it's even less expensive to get into it, because then all you need is a Pi hat to enable the RF features and an SD card, a flash to use the software, and you too can have an open spot. So for the tinkerers out there who already have Raspberry Pis, if you happen to have a digital mode handy talkie sitting around someplace, you could try it out for even less money. So yeah, I wish everyone luck with this, and if you need any pointers along the way, you can always come back to the technical mat.
And just one last thing, following your advice when I asked you what mode should I get into, and you were just DMR. Now I see why, and you're right. DMR is the way to get into digital radio. It's a third of the cost, at least a third of the cost, and it's where I would say. Absolutely right. it in. It's just more interesting to be able to use it. The wonderful people of Limon. So, again, W2BC clear.
AC2GS. Well, yeah. Good luck, Rich, once again. And, yeah, that's my gut feeling. I know that there are people who really love Fusion, and I understand that, and people who really love D-Star, and I understand that. It's just you get, I think, a little bit more bang for your buck if you have a DMR handy talkie. They're made in China, but they're reasonably well-built. And because there's so much action going on with other people who have DMR radios interfacing with hotspots, you have a much bigger chance of asking questions and having people who've had the experience and can guide you to the promised land, as opposed to if you're doing D-Star, you certainly can find people who do it with D-Star just as well. But I think there are less of them out there simply because you have to start off with an ICOM-based radio or the Kenwood handy talkie that handles D-Star and or Yaesu with the Fusion. So, you know, you could do it with any of the three. I just think that if you're starting from scratch anyway, DMR has a little bit of a improved aspects to it at this time. It's always subject to change. And like the old commercials used to say, your mileage might vary. Any other technical questions or topics of a technical radio nature tonight? If you do, please give me your call sign and your first name. Okay, I guess we're talked out radio-wise. I will flip the switch to being a doctor, and if anyone has any questions about the coronavirus, there's a lot of speculation that I hear going on the radio and elsewhere. If you want to discuss it and hear my feedback from 40 years as a clinical general internist, and a guy who actually reads the research literature, I offer you the opportunity to ask questions tonight if you are interested in that.
Bravo Zulu.
Yes, Rich.
All the euphoria out there and all the openings out there and all the number of curves going down, how much trouble do you still think we're in?
I tend to unfortunately think we're in a load of trouble, generally speaking. I think that there are some states in the union who did not have their peak yet, who are still creeping up higher and higher than they had predicted, and they're very concerned that it will impact their health systems in a few weeks. There are other places down south and other places in the Midwest where the numbers are creeping up as well. And in addition to that, everyone who hasn't lived under a rock knows about the protests that are going on. Some are using social distancing, some are not. Ultimately, this is going to impact upon infections. A lot of them tend to be relatively younger, relatively less risk. But inevitably, a lot of them have parents and grandparents that they will no doubt infect who are high risk. So although I think and I hope and I pray that New York has seen the worst of it, I think there are other parts of this country that unfortunately have not seen the worst of it for themselves. I guess if you don't see it, you don't quite believe in it, but you should. But we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll be very, 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 very lucky. We probably won't, but maybe.
And the fact that the curves are going down, that can't be tied to seasonal at all, because I used to remember when I'd get my flu shot that I was, you know, when the warm months start coming around, I would go, ooh, boy, I beat that again with the flu shot, and I don't have to worry about it again until November or October to get another shot. Could this...
Okay, you cut yourself off at the end. We do not really know if there's a true seasonality. There might be. There might be a partial seasonality. We're drawing conclusions based on influenza, and this is not influenza. There is some indication possibly that the original nasty Chinese coronavirus SARS had seasonality, but the slightly less memorable MERS did not quite have any seasonality. I mean, it attacked people in the Middle East, and that was not a cool environment. So we really don't know. And as far as it going down because it's the summer, spring and summer months, again, if you choose your populations, you get different results. If you take the nation as a whole, which was heavily biased for major cities that had early infection, New York, Boston, Chicago, and to a lesser extent, the big cities in California, if you dump them all in, since they are going down very fast, it looks like the curve is going down. If you take them out of the equation, you'll notice that there's a lot of states by themselves that are slowly creeping up, not down. So, again, not quite sure if there is seasonality. Seasonality is fine and dandy as a delaying measure. But as I keep on reminding people, in the great pandemic of 1918 to 1920, the Spanish flu, it was not the first peak that killed most people. Most people ended up dying with the second peak. So we're not out of the boat. If it's seasonal and it fades away during the summer, because if it's going to be anything like the Spanish flu, and no bets that it is, that doesn't really help us that much. It gives us a little breathing room and some time to jump the gun and figure out a solution to this. But other than that, it's not a solution in and of itself.
Guess it's a wait-and-see game. Thanks, Roy.
Yeah, unfortunately, for the most part, it's 2020 hindsight. If only we had a time machine and could go 20 years in the future and buy a thorough book describing it from beginning to end. Short of that, we could just glimpse little bits and pieces of what's going on and do the best that we can under the circumstances that we find ourselves.
One other thing that mystifies me. Is there a vaccine or is there not a vaccine?
Okay, well, the simple answer is not only is there a vaccine, there is probably 100 different vaccines in different stages of development and different stages of being tested. The real question you should ultimately be asking is there an effective vaccine that is safe? That no one knows yet. That's what all the testing is about. If you have a vaccine that kills a lot of people, that's not good. If you have a vaccine that gives you 1% immunity to the infection so that you give 100 people the vaccine and one of them doesn't come down with it, that isn't good. So you need it to be efficacious, which is another fancy schmancy word for saying the damn thing works, and you need safety so that you don't have the intensive care units, instead of having coronavirus, they have Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Did no one after polio vaccine, everybody was inoculated with that, did no one ever get polio again?
My understanding is that, and there might be some historic glitz where vaccines didn't, were mishandled and not kept at the right temperatures and the right environment, but for all intents and purposes, polio is a thing of the past. Unfortunately, there appears to be a somewhat polio-like viral strain that has cropped up in very, very small limited numbers. and medical science is trying to figure that one out. But as far as polio itself, I think it only now exists in places like the CDC under guard.
But I saw one newscast where it wasn't the vaccine. They were the COVID vaccine they were worried about anymore. There was a shortage of little bottles, little glass vials to put the stuff in. I thought it was a done deal on the vaccine. Now they're going, where are all these billions of vials coming from?
Ultimately, I think the question is, where are all these billion of everything coming from? They need a billion syringes, they need a billion needles, they need a billion vials, they need a billion seals, and they need a lot of reagent to make all of the stuff that goes into the vials. So I'm not particularly worried in the next year that they won't be able to gear up a billion little glass vials. I think that's the least of our problems. It's gearing up billions of samples of the vaccine in a timely case where most of them are actually useful. That if you recall the story of the CDC, when they originally rolled out the original test to see if people were infected, the reagents became contaminated and practically useless. So to generate billions of supplies of something that has to work every single time is going to be difficult. And doing it for a price point that you can send it all around the world and not bankrupt any country. Because if they decide that it's too much to pay and they say thanks but no thanks, you now have this big vector of the infection that's ready to jump and spread out among other people. So I think the biggest problem is being able to mass produce the vaccine. I think making bottles is the least of their problem. Bottles are basically made out of glorified sand.
Thanks, Roy. W2BZ clear.
You're welcome, Rich. Anyone else with any questions tonight? This is as good an opportunity as any. I realize some people are kind of bored or tired, although talk of the virus has pretty much kind of faded away because of the protests and such. But, you know, if you want to discuss any aspect that you have in question, then, you know, there's people running around saying all kinds of different things about the utilization and benefit of masks, of disinfectants, of soaps, of why it's 70% isopropyl instead of 100% isopropyl or what have you. You know, this is as good an opportunity as ever to get an answer that makes some sense.
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, okay. I wonder what's going to happen, you know, after we straighten ourselves out, and not only in New York, but maybe throughout the states. You know, this all came in from a foreign country, and I've been following this Brazil. I think they're up to 1,500 people a day getting killed from this. So, you know, I mean, my guess is that could come back into this country. But if it's the same exact strain, maybe it won't bother us as much, or maybe it will, I don't know. Or, you know, is there a way they can test it, you know, and say, okay, is this Brazil virus any different than what we had here in the States? Is it going to cause more or less of a problem? You know, I think that could be a big problem. You know, New York is worried about other states maybe, you know, they're going up, like you said, they might come back into New York. What about the foreign countries? I mean, that's how it started in the first place. What do you think, Roy? Back to you. WS2N.
AC2GS. Well, all those are good points, and unfortunately, most of the answers tend to be, we don't know yet. We don't know if being infected with the virus and surviving it gives you immunity. It gives you immunity for a month, immunity for a year, immunity for 10 years. We don't know if there is a degree of genetic drift that's inherent in all living things. Is capable of creating something different enough so that it hides from your immune system and that you can catch it all over again. Influenza is a perfect example of something like that. Influenza, once you are infected with influenza, your immune system is capable of recognizing and defending yourself unless you're immunocompromised. The trouble, though, is that about a year later, the genes have drifted enough to change the characteristics of the virus sufficient that it can hide from your own immune system. So we don't know if that's the case for the coronavirus. We do know that the coronavirus drifts genetically like any other virus or any other living thing. And there was that nice article that I have a link to on Roy.ac2gs from the New York Times about all the different base pairs that have been modified as it's creeped along the world. I mean, one of the ways that we know that we in New York got the European strain was simply because of the genetic drift that we were able to pin down to Europe that wasn't seen in China. So there's all kinds of that we talked about earlier that seasonal is that it goes away in the northern hemispheres, but it's still active in the southern ones. And then when the weather flips, you have people traveling from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere. They reinfect them, and now it's cooler. And so this is a very common epidemiological problem, that you can't leave little pools of infection someplace because inevitably you'll come in contact with them.
Okay. Looks like we'll be wearing masks for a long time until they do know some answers. I guess that's the way it's going to go. Oh, I'm used to it. Back to your work.
Okay, very good, Paul. Unfortunately, to one degree or another, unless they do a lot of testing and screening and isolation of high-risk people, we're going to be seeing still a significant number of masks into the next year. You know, these suggestions that there would be tens of millions of vials of a perfectly useful vaccine material January 1st is incredibly optimistic. I hope they are right, but the law of averages would not indicate. As I've mentioned before, I believe that the fastest vaccine development in the history of mankind was the measles vaccine, and that took 4 years to develop. And as far as things like the HIV vaccine, they've been working on that thing for more than 20 years, and they haven't come up with anything useful yet. So I'm hoping that their optimism is correct. We'll have to see. Any other coronavirus or biological questions in this little segment? Otherwise, we'll just move to generic science.
Kilo Charlie 2, Echo Papa Uniform with a corona question.
Okay, what's your first name?
Good evening to everyone in that. First name here is Bill, and we're over here in Lake Grove. And I'm kind of relaying a question from my wife here. She wants to know how long someone can be asymptomatic. And also, for instance, I go to the store today, I get exposed. And then I feel fine. And then, let's say I contract the virus. Can I be asymptomatic for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 days? So, what would that length be? KC2EP, back to next call.
Okay, it sort of is two different answers, unfortunately. In order to express the infection, the incubation period is what usually is called, is anywhere between 4 and 14 days. So you can be infected right now, and it would take anywhere from 4 to 14 days where you would start to shed viruses and possibly become symptomatic. Then the progression depends upon your immune status. If you have a strong immune status, 2-3 weeks later, you fight off the infection, you clear your body of the viral particles. Now, the extra little tickle in the subject is that there's a certain percentage of people who are infected but not symptomatic. They do not have a cough. They do not have shortness of breath. They do not have difficulty smelling or tasting, or the skin lesions that some have documented, or other side effects. They are totally and completely asymptomatic, but they shed viral particles and they are infectious to other people. Now, the duration of the asymptomatic carriers is an interesting question which has yet to be fully understood. My general assumption is it probably has the same duration as someone with a decent immune status, although in the past there have been people like Typhoid Mary from history who never cleared virus particles in their body, and they were silent carriers for years and years and years, and it is theoretically possible that such people do exist.
All right. First of all, thank you very much for answering the questions. And I had already understood the knowledge on the first answer, but the second part that you answered was really just for the question. And that could be kind of scary. We could have many people walking around for a long time infecting people. So, all right. Appreciate you taking the questions there, Doctor. And we'll look for you again next week at KC2EP Back to Net Control.
Okay, Bill, it's my pleasure to answer questions as best I can. Knowledge, I think, is an important thing. The more we know about things, the more we can address them and deal with them in a rational way. If we sort of make stuff up and run all over the place looking for copper bracelets or magnets or silver solutions or bleaches and such, the more problems we give each other. So once again, if anyone has any other questions that have to do with the virus and the pandemic and such, please feel free. Okay, very well. I will open the floor for anyone who wants to bring up any kind of science topic. Sometimes we have that come up. People have particular things of interest that they would like to discuss or be discussed or what have you. So if there's anyone out there with any science topics they would like to address and discuss, give me your call sign and your first name.
N2HA.
N2HA.
YHI. I was wondering if you could tell me the name of the disease and the virus itself.
Okay. As for the World Health Organization this week, the name of the virus is designated SARS-CoV-2. The name of the disease is called COVID-19.
Amazingly enough, you got that right. Your only mistake was quoting the World Health Organization, which takes money from Gates.
I'm just telling you who decided on the name. You can decide on your own name, but most people won't use it.
Well, you're right. That is the right name, and I usually ask anybody who's passing himself off to know anything about it. They actually know the name of the disease, but are you aware of Event 201 and ID 2020?
I do not have a clue. There is a great deal of, let us be kind and say, speculation surrounding this, as there are speculations about UFOs and World Trade Centers and assassinations and flat Earths and hollow Earths and even fluoridation of water.
I kind of thought it was settled fact, but you're aware that Gates gives money to the World Health Organization, as well as John Hopkins, and if you're going to be giving out information of this sort, I'd imagine you would need to avail yourself.
Well, there are so many people with so many interesting ideas of why a billionaire who is trying to vaccinate people against infectious diseases would want to kill millions of people, that if you want to email me this material, and I will take a look at it, but I have read many things alluding to the Illuminati and you know, the Elders of Zion, and now, unfortunately, Bill Gates is a co-member of their organization. So I don't know what to tell you. I know the stuff that's real in the published literature. I know a smattering of the strange stories that are told, QAnon and all those other strange stories, but they don't really hold much water as far as I'm aware.
Tell us, Bruce.
Well, he doesn't seem to be very aware. That's the question. This guy's passing himself off as somebody with the ability to answer questions, but he's never heard of Event 201. I'm shocked.
Tell us, Bruce.
Who's asking?
Tell us.
What's your call sign, sir? This is N2YHI requesting.
W2HL.
Okay. What do you need to know? What Event 201 is? Look it up. Going to be answering any questions about this, you should know what Event 201 is, and what ID 2020 is, and the patent Gates took out. He gives money to Johns Hopkins, too. That's the people that have that big, scary coronavirus map. And just so you know, what percentage of the tests come back as false positives? Does anybody know that answer?
It varies among the different manufacturers. Unfortunately, they kind of opened the Food and Drug Administration opened the gate when they wanted to desperately flood the area with tests. And some of them have a false positive as much as 50%.
Well, it's actually 80%, and in India, it was 90%. And you're aware that they pay $6,000 for every death in the hospital, thus guaranteeing that the numbers are pumped up. I'm pretty sure you saw the front page of the New York Times where they had 100,000 coronavirus victims there. Well, one of them was a murder, actually. Are you aware what a coronavirus is?
I'm aware what a coronavirus is. Are you aware what a paranoid schizophrenic is?
Cut the crap. What's the coronavirus?
Look, I am not here to take tests. I did that with my boards. I am a board-certified internal medicine guy. I don't know what the hell you are. A coronavirus is specifically a class of viruses seen under the electron microscope that appears to be spherical with protein spikes, looking somewhat like the corona of the sun.
Very good. I read that caption too, but what is coronavirus encompass? What these tests? Tell us about the PCR and the L test and the one with RN. I mean, what specifically tests for COVID-19? Is there any specific test for that? Or what are these tests testing? Just for coronavirus? Tell us what a coronavirus is.
KD2FIU.
Yes, George.
How are you tonight, Roy? You might want to direct that caller to read my recent paper.
KD2FIU?
Yes, George.
From all the answers to all the questions. Okay, I understand somebody is with us right now who really is trying to confuse it. And I'm listening here. And I'm listening to a misdirection from somebody who joined in. And we have all been directed medically by some of the top scientists in the world and in the country, step by step. Wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, right. But we've all been directed through this. Roy, I'm sorry to say that you have been challenged by somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about.
Opinion.
Well, I know what I'm talking about. I'm hit information. I'm trying to correct it.
Yes, Wesley.
The primary is behavior on this net. It's a kindness. Dr. Ray is dedicating his time to us the same way Aztec did for 30-something years. And I'm deeply touched by the gentleman. I'm trying to be as nice as possible, but this is not the way that questions or statements supposed to be addressed to Dr. Roy. And this is my opinion, and to Xia. My name is Wesley.
Thank you, Wesley. John, you wanted to say something?
Amazing to be up.
Say again, what's your call sign?
Yeah, good evening, Roy. This is Jeff Alpha Charlie 2 Papa Lima. And I've exchanged blows with that gentleman on the radio before, but you know, perhaps you could direct him to read my recent paper on the matter.
Well, tell us what the hell your damn paper is already. Quit telling us about it. Where is it? Where can I look at it?
Sir, tell is not a kind response. I can tell you if I want to, if I have a willing to tell you, based on your behavior. The same is with Dr. Roy. You don't want to be nice, we cannot accept it. This is N2XGN.
Yeah, good. Then stand down while I talk to this guy. He's never heard of Event 201. I'm shocked. If you're any kind of doctor, you would know what Event 201 is and how these events transpired. Furthermore, coronavirus, the tests they're giving, they test for 1,100 coronaviruses, which is the common flu, the common cold, and 1,100 coronaviruses, which are constantly in your body at all times. So, if you're testing positive for coronavirus, you have a cold.
Bruce, please. You want to get on a soapbox, you want to do a spiel, get yourself a net, and then do that. Get yourself a repeater. I don't know. Event 201 was just a pandemic exercise. You know, governments do exercises. That does not mean anything shady happened. If you have proof that something shady happened, go to some organization and report it to them. As far as I can perceive, you're pulling this stuff off of paranoid websites. I, again, have 40 years of training in internal medicine, and I really am not going to be quizzed by you guys. So I don't know what your credentials are. I don't know what your health problems are. So if you want to peddle this, peddle it elsewhere. I'm not here to debate people with paranoid delusions. I'm here to offer people as best I can what's going on around them. So, you know, Bruce, I don't know. This isn't for you here. Maybe you can find some other place.
Well, that's a good idea. Why don't you go somewhere else? Because I'm here to talk about this, and I'm not letting you put me off, because you're putting out a lot of misinformation there as well as everybody else. Yeah, Event 201. And do you know why Event 201 is of great interest? It wasn't just an exercise. Realize what Event 201 is.
You are using the kindness of the net and station that is providing the rights for that net to be on air. You are here in the form of a guest. So it is like you go to somebody's house and you try to be rude in this house. It doesn't matter what you think, you are in somebody's house. So behave, please, and to Adrian.
Excuse me, this is Cod.
Excuse me, but you're calling me paranoid. You're trying to dismiss my views. You're the guy who's going to be rude, not me. You got.
Okay. Just let the tide go out. Because the person is currently.
Event 201 predicted
Let the tide go out. Don't even respond. Let the tide go out.
Well, can someone tell me what Bruce said?
We can have a very nice conversation, but otherwise, that's not the point of this technical net. It's not here for debating, it's for discussing. And that was not a discussion, that was that wasn't even a debate. That was an argumentative quizzing. For a man who has no known credentials, peddle it elsewhere, guy. I mean, it's as simple as that.
No, you're nasty, and I'm staying here, and I'm going to discuss it. Event 201 had 65 million predicted deaths. That's the model they're using, and if you look at any other model, do you know who Fauci is? Do you know who Burks is? No. I think you're full of crap.
Okay, just take his call sign and report it as interfering with a scheduled net. That's all.
Yeah, well, you picked me up, guys.
No, take the call sign and we will report it as interfering with a scheduled net. The person is not letting a scheduled net continue. He is considered a jammer.
You're an asshole. Shut up.
No. You don't get it. You're jamming a scheduled net. It's not your call. You're jamming a scheduled net.
All right, here we go. You guys picked me up, so I'm not jamming anything.
Well, then consider us dropping you off. So, goodbye, Bruce. Find another repeater. Find another hobby. Find whatever you want, but find something other than this net.
Oh, by the way, you want the number downtown so you can report me?
Yeah, we want your call sign.
N2YHI, I gave it already. I'm not hiding. Everybody knows who I am. People are calling me by my first name. I didn't give that, so I'm calling you on it. I think that you're full of crap. You're giving bad information on a very bad pandemic that's going around. It's a pandemic of stupidity, and you're only making it worse. I'm trying to correct that. I'm not here to fight.
Whiskey 2, Tango Hotel Bravo with a new question.
Yes, Tango Hotel Bravo.
You know, with all the riots going on and other things going on, I see that a lot of the coverage on the coronavirus has kind of been dropping off, and people are relaxing quite a bit. Do you see any issues that could be popping up from all of the, you know, new people going out and kind of disregarding all the safeguards we've been putting in place before this?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. I mentioned it earlier that there are some people who are socially parents and grandparents and what have you, and unfortunately, I'm not at all going to be surprised if, say, 2 to 3 weeks from now, the case numbers that are reported will climb over time, very much like they did in Louisiana after Mardi Gras.
Thank you for the info, Dr. Roy.
I don't want to die.
Anyway, back to the primary, the last question that I asked before this blew into whatever it was. If anyone has any other science topics that they would like to discuss or bring up on the technical net, this is a good time as any.
Yeah, this is W2HL.
Yes, Howie.
Third party. My name is Barry.
Yes, Barry. We've talked before.
Yes, we have. Yeah, it was, the guy, Bruce, brought up a pretty good point. I think he has a right to his own opinion. And the thing is that there's no reason why people should be cut off and just because someone disagrees with that. But I do remember something about Bill Gates coming out with a patent for coronavirus in 2019, before the virus started, hitting the populations. So that is a little questionable to me. I mean, it really rises a lot of suspicion. I wouldn't refer to schizophrenia when someone has a little different opinion than yourself, regardless of your credentials.
Everyone has a right to their own opinion. Everyone does not have a right for their own facts. And this is not a net for debating subjects. This is a debate for discussing them. If one person is kind of completely out of line as far as the facts are concerned, I wish them well, but let them peddle it elsewhere. I do not believe in spreading paranoia that this is an actual conspiracy of billionaires controlling the world again. This has been going on since the days of the Illuminati and the Elders of Zion and all the others. There's a perpetual conspiracy scheme explaining everything that's ever happened in the world. And if you want to have paranoid ideations, then that's fine. Go someplace and have them. Just don't have them on my neck. That's all.
Well, it's not a matter of having paranoia. I mean, there's a lot of information out there. So, I mean, anyone with any type of half a brain would try to look into a lot of these facts that are going on. I mean, it's a fact that Bill Gates did come up with a patent for the coronavirus in 2019. And it raises a lot of questions. If you can call it paranoia, whatever you want to, but, you know, I think for someone to have a monopoly on the subject is really over the top, you know?
C2PL.
Whiskey 2 Tango Hotel Bravo.
Yeah, one second, guys. Basically, you have to understand, this is not designed like a QSO round robin. This is a net. This is the technical net. I am the net control operator of this net. I am open to discussion. I don't really feel myself open to suspicion. I don't feel open to being quizzed and questioned of my credentials. You can Google me and find my certifications. I cannot find any for Bruce. So I wish Bruce well. I wish Barry well. I understand that you have these beliefs. Unfortunately, I don't think that this is a good venue to discuss them. And I wish you both well.
Where's the patella?
Oh, I know who that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can understand your viewpoint, but, you know, I think, you know, if you can have an open air, open net for other people to call in on, I think maybe you should set up the ground rules before people come in. Just say, hey, listen, we don't want to hear about, you know, anything on this or that. We don't want any suggestions. If you want to give all these suggestions out and all the facts, then it's really not an open discussion, you know? So, you know, just a room, you know, some food for thought.
I have a question to this gentleman who was just talking entering Sheehan. Do you know what was that patent of Bill Gates about?
I actually saw it briefly on the internet. You can Google it, Bill Gates patent on the coronavirus. I'm sure it will come up. But, you know, as far as dates go, not sure about it. I mean, I could definitely look it up and call you back, you know?
Yeah, but you mentioned something that you need to look at on the internet. That means you're talking about something that you, at this time, don't have much opinion about, right?
Well, it's something that you know, people have been looking at for a long time. And if you want to, you know, delve into the information, I mean, it's out there in the open. I mean, if you can get on Google and just type in Bill Gates and, you know, the patent on the coronavirus, you can get all that information. I mean, you're asking me chapter and verse and trying to discredit what I'm trying to say. If you check into it, you'll find that that information is readily available to you.
This is N2RQ.
Now, do you have a patent number?
What I'm trying to say is that the present invention of Mr. Gates provides the attenuated coronavirus variant gene encoding polypropanes comprising a mutation in one or more of non-structural proteins. So the coronavirus may be used as a vaccine for treating and preventing disease. So, and infectious bronchitis as a subject. So what I'm trying to say is that somebody's good willing and action is reverted, and you, without the knowledge about that patent, are trying to put it as a point of freedom of expression. Yes, everybody has a freedom of expression, but the thing is that at first I need to know what I'm talking about in order for me to conform it with Dr. Roy or anybody else. And it looks like you have no idea what was the patent about, but you're mentioning it. And to exchange.
You got told.
Anyway, this is AC2GS, and pulling off a web page, although, you know, needing to pull off a web page, I will quote you some lines. It says, the Per Bright Institute is a biological research organization based in Surrey, England. The organization specializes in studying animal viruses and zoonotic diseases that transfer from animals to people. While the Institute does hold the patent for coronavirus that primarily affects chickens, it does not hold the patent on any part of the novel coronavirus causing the current COVID-19 pandemic. The Institute was granted a patent in 2018, which covers the development of an attenuated, weakened form of coronavirus that could potentially be used as a vaccine to prevent respiratory diseases in birds, including IBV and other animals. A representative from Per Bright Institute told USA Today. So much for that. Anyway, Lou, you wanted to...
from the National Geographic and National Enquirer. When I'm checking out at the supermarket, I find the National Enquirer especially to be very informative.
Thank you, Roy. I just wanted to point out that I thank you, by the way, for that last reading. George was 100% correct earlier. These people trying to usurp the net don't understand that this is a directed net, and you are providing control and amazing self-control. It's something that I recognize, that science requires data, not speculation, entirely. Back to you, Roy, and to RQ.
Thank you very much, Lou. Ed, you wanted to say something?
I'd like to know why water expands when it freezes.
We actually covered that a couple of years ago, but Ed, WB2EAB, you wanted to say something?
Whiskey 2 Tango Hotel Bravo with a new question.
Yes, Tango Hotel Bravo.
I've been noticing the sunspots have been getting a little more active. Do we have some data on what we think is going on there, and is the propagation cycle coming back?
Well, unless we're terribly wrong, it'll be coming back. The big question that you ask and that other people ask is has the minimum passed, and are we on the upswing? And unfortunately, from the documents that I've read on the subject, they waffle all over the place. There are some sources that believe that the minimum was a year ago and that we're slowly creeping up. But I've read at least one source that suggests that they expect the minimum to be in September of this year. So we are either at the minimum or we're a little bit away from the minimum and starting to get activity. The people who analyze the results from the sun can usually tell the difference between the odd sunspots that are based in the previous cycle and one that's coming from a new cycle. And they suggest that some of the activity is for a new sunspot cycle. So hopefully we've passed the minimum and we'll slowly progress up to a maximum in about 5 odd years.
And just to follow up, if you or anyone else on the net has any links or places that I can do a little more research, and or even the best place to see daily propagation information, I check a few places, but I'm always looking for other places I can look.
Okay, it's a good idea. I'll do a little search and put it up on roy.ac2gs.com on my link page. There is a woman who does space weather. I think she does it sometimes for the Ham Nation, but she puts out her own video that's kind of interesting. It's kind of weather of the sun. That might be an interesting thing to check on, but there are other websites that I'm aware of that give a daily a reading of the different numbers that the research facilities generate and publish.
Well, thank you very much for the information. Back to the net.
Okay, very good. You're welcome. It's already 10 o'clock, and maybe it's a good time to go to the space report. I will once again remind everyone that if you have any questions that you can't tell me on the radio because you don't have access, or if you have topics you want discussed, or you would like to offer me some suggestions for puzzlers in the future, or you want me to pass on a message to Paul that you've seen a video or an article and you'd like his opinion on the subject, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. And anything that I put up, links and such, are available on my linking page, which is roy.ac2gs.com. And archives of all the technical nets going back to as far as 2006 are available at MikeKC2NJI's amateurradio.tv website. There's a plethora of archives of audio files of many years of the technical net. Just want to remind everyone that and thank everyone who participated tonight. And on with the space report. Paul.
AC2GS, WS2N, very good, Roy. And let's see, yeah. Following up from last week, the Crew Dragon vehicle. I wanted to give a quick update on that. They're doing well. I still don't know how long they're going to stay on board station, but that has to do with the new solar panels that were installed on the Crew Dragon vehicle. Of course, that thing was launched last week at the end of May. To the International Space Station with Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken. Bob Behnken's a ham, and they successfully docked the space station. And now there's a crew of 5 on board. And yeah, right away they got put to work. You know, there's 7 tons of equipment, and not only not in their vehicle, but in another vehicle, the HTV vehicle, which docked 9 days earlier from Japan, and that they have to unload and install somewhere or put somewhere on the International Space Station. And some batteries that were also brought up by the HTV vehicle from Japan that is attached to the station. And now we'll start with the robotic arm removing them from the and getting them into the area where they're going to be installed, and then the crew will go out and do some installations on it. This has been done 4 different times over the last about 3 or 4 years with different crews. Let me drop it. And you know, each time they shut down around 25% of the station. Shut down the power and They have plenty of power, even so they're running on 75% of the power, more than enough to do that work. And then, you know, once it's all back up and running, and NASA feels that the Dragon is ready to come home, again, Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken will board the Dragon.